Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They've got their game faces on.
Cut one, cut two.
Thank God they're on the radio. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 ESPN.
The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester, getting you ready for Sunday. The Bills traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns. And one of our favorites from our sister station, our radio.com sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Adam the Bull joining us now in the Sports Bar. Adam, how you been?
Good, guys. How are you?
Adam, 6-2 against 2-6. Here, up here, you would think it was the Bills, the team at 2-6, the way people are talking about this team. But let's talk a little bit about the Browns. 2-6. I think
you guys haven't beaten anybody, right? I mean, you haven't beaten
it. We've
the
heard
Browns
that once
actually have more quality wins than the Bills do, even though the Browns stink.
Well, Adam, can we start with that? I mean, there's so much to talk about with the Browns, and as I was watching Baltimore blow up the Death Star on Sunday night, all I could think to myself was, how did Cleveland beat this team?
It's a good question. They played an excellent game. They did everything right. They kind of played like they did last year when they were having success in the second half of the season. And it was a weird game. You know, listen, how did the Jets beat the Cowboys, right? I mean, you have these upsets. Remember last year, the Dolphins beat the Patriots.
Right.
So these things happen. The Browns shouldn't be this bad. They're poorly coached, and their quarterback's not playing well. Obviously, they're a really talented team, but they're not performing well because, like I said, the coach stinks.
Yeah.
And you're just getting underperformance big time, especially by the quarterback.
So how much trouble is Freddie Kitchens in? What does he have to do to come back next year, Adam?
I mean, they'd have to win at least 6 of their final 8 games, which in theory is possible because their schedule is not very good. I mean, the Bills are the second best team they're going to play the rest of the year. So in theory, they could go 6-2, but because he's such a bad coach, they probably won't. And Baker's just not playing well. And I don't like his attitude right now either. I think that's an issue. I don't think they're going to do it. He's a bad coach. I mean, I think we already know that. I'm furious at myself that I gave this guy the benefit of the doubt coming into the season, and I will never do that again. But, I mean, it's been a total disaster. I mean, obviously, you guys are not watching the Browns play every week. Why would you? But if you watch the Browns play every week, there's so many mistakes that he's making that are not like, okay, he's a first-year head coach, he'll get better. I don't see it. I think he's probably one and done.
Adam, what got him hired in the first place? Because I know that there's an underlying current that believes the only reason why that guy got hired was because he wouldn't put up a lot of resistance up against John Dorsey, and John Dorsey wanted more of a yes man.
I think there's a little bit of that, but I think that's overblown. I think he got hired because he had a good relationship with Baker in the second half of last year when the Browns played much better. Although the Browns, like, you know, I said before, the Bills haven't beaten anybody. The Browns didn't beat anybody the second half of last year. And they got a lot of hype. They went 5-3, but they beat all bad teams. And until you beat good teams, you got something to prove. I like the Bills' defense, right? But they're 6-2, and the best team you've beaten is Tennessee. So until you beat good teams, you got a lot to prove. And they gave Freddie developed a good relationship with Baker. He did a good job last year as play caller. And they didn't want to lose him for that role, so they gave him the head coaching job. And something, I don't know if now that he's the head coach, he's a little more uptight. I don't know what it is, but he's not calling the plays the same way. He doesn't appear to be the same guy, and the quarterback's not the same guy. His mechanics are off. His attitude is off. It's a disaster right now.
well, it, should he hand off the play calling responsibilities? Because, Adam, I did catch the Patriot game a couple weeks ago, and my gosh, right. can you get the play in time? That, you know, it set Baker Mayfield off that line of questioning, but just the idea that Freddie Kitchens, is there too much on his plate right now?
And there might be, but I don't see the point at this point of him giving up the play calling. I think he's got to be efficient with it. I mean, there seems to be, everybody loves the offensive coordinator not calling the plays, kind of like everybody loves the backup quarterback. But Todd Monken, you know, what did he do in Tampa Bay? I mean, he got removed from his play calling duties because Jameis Winston wasn't getting any better and they couldn't run the football. So, no, I don't think he's the answer either. I think Freddie's going to go down with the ship this year and hopefully be fired at the end of the season.
What kind of grace period is the Cleveland fan giving Baker Mayfield? I mean, with all of the hype surrounding this team before the season started and the idea that you have finally a guy who could be your franchise quarterback, the way this season has started, the way he's been with the local media and the narrative of him, you mentioned his attitude, and he's just sour. I mean, what kind of honeymoon is the honeymoon over for Baker Mayfield, and what kind of, how long is his leash there with the fan base in Cleveland?
It's mixed. I don't think it's definitely not, the honeymoon's not over. It's mixed. You know, I think the people that defend him at all costs, there's still a lot of them out there. I've been highly critical of Baker, but I still think he's a good quarterback. I just think he's not playing well. But I think with better coaching and a better attitude, he can still be really good in the future. We showed you last year he can be really good. I think that's there. He's not performing at that level right now. Most of the fans still believe in him long term. But yeah, the confidence has been hurt some. I mean, you felt like coming into this year you'd found the next star quarterback, not just the Browns haven't even had a legitimate starting quarterback in over 20 years. So you would take that, right? Like the Browns haven't even had like an Andy Dalton in 20 years. So you, even that would be better if that ends up what Baker ends up being. But I think going into the season, you thought he was something special. And now I think you're questioning, is he special or is he just Andy Dalton? And I guess time will tell.
Adam the Bull from our sister station. You can hear him on the radio.com app, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. I think every young quarterback would like a running game, the one that Cleveland has. Adam, this idea of Cleveland running the ball against the Bills, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Bills' run defense. It's not very good right now, so how much of a concern would you say that should be for Buffalo this week?
It should be a big concern, in theory it should be, although the Browns don't run the ball enough, in my opinion, because Nick Chubb is an absolute superstar. He's one of the best running backs in the game. And now Kareem Hunt comes back this week and I would expect him to play a little bit as well. So we don't know what to expect because he hasn't played in a year, but we know what he was the last time he played. I'm not happy he's on the team, but he's here. So he's going to play and, he's a great talent. But Nick Chubb's a star and that's despite the fact that the Browns have a serviceable offensive line at best. He's amazing, and they need. If I was the Browns, I would be running a ton in this game against Buffalo. I'm just not sure that they'll do it.
What kind of a season is Myles Garrett been having, Adam? I mean, you know, the Bills' offensive line is they're still learning each other. They're halfway through a season for the first time, all of them working together. A lot of pieces brought in the off season, and Josh Allen has certainly seen his fair share of pressure through the course of the year. What about Myles Garrett, and why should the Bills be keeping an eye on him, obviously, on Sunday?
He's an elite talent. And he's playing at a very good level. I wouldn't quite say an elite level. He's got a lot of sacks. He's not making a ton of other plays besides the sacks. Fans here have actually been a little even more critical than I think is necessary. Myles Garrett's a hell of a player, but there's another level that he still hasn't reached yet. He has not reached that, you know, superstar level that we're expecting from the best guys like an Aaron Donald, you know, a Von Miller in his prime. And he's got that level in him. He is, by all accounts, a great human being. He is, he's built like he's incredible. He's in like perfect shape. There's just another step, waiting for the final step to go from being great to being legendary. And he hasn't quite taken it yet, but he's close.
Adam, how close, or maybe you're already there, do fans hate watching this team? Up here last year, I'll give you the example, the Sabres. Okay, this team's going nowhere, and a lot of people wanted a head coaching change, which they got, and I found myself hate watching the team. Is that where we're at, or that's where we should be at if the Browns go to 2-7?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of that. This season, in a way, a few people have said to me that this season is worse than the 0-16 season because at least that year, you didn't expect much, right? We thought the Browns. I think I picked the Browns to go 3-13 that year, or maybe 4-12. You know, you expected them to be bad. This year, we all expected the Browns to be really good. I picked them to win 11 games, and I'm not usually a positive picker. I have never picked the Browns to win more than 6 the entire time I've been working here, and I picked them to win 11, and I was crazy, and so was everybody else that was optimistic. But yeah, there is some of that, like, on right now. I think there's a little hope that the Browns could reel off 6 or 7 wins down the stretch and be the first team in 50 years to make the playoffs at 2-6 in what's a pretty bad division outside of Baltimore. And like I said, with their schedule, but so you're holding out some hope. But if they lose to the Bills this week, obviously that's the final straw if it hasn't happened already.
Adam the Bull from our radio.com sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, joining us in the sports bar to talk some Bills and Browns on AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester. Adam, play this out. I mean, you know, one team is 2-6, one team is 6-2, but they're very similarly matched up. I mean, you know, this doesn't feel like one team is going to blow out another. It feels like it could be a close game. How do you see everything shaking out when these two teams face off on Sunday?
I think the Bills are going to win a low-scoring game. I think 20-17 Buffalo is what I got it. Close game. No offense to the people of Buffalo. You guys know I love upstate New York. Spent many, many years there. I'm not a believer in the Bills. I don't think they're any good. I shouldn't say that. I think you're average, and you're going to make the playoffs and get smoked in the first round by whoever you play. I think Josh Allen stinks. I thought he stunk out of college. I still think he stinks. I do love Devin Singletary, and Browns played really well, and they got a solid defense, but I'm not going to believe into the Bills until they beat somebody legit. And as you guys know, they haven't beaten anybody at this point.
Adam, I sense the social media, the Twitter world after the Josh. It gets people all upset here when you go after Josh Allen. I mean, what is it about Josh Allen that we going back to the accuracy coming out of college? What is it that you see that would lead you to believe here?
He never impressed me in college. The accuracy is terrible. You know, I know some people say, well, you know, Lamar Jackson, maybe not the most accurate, but nobody else is Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen's a good athlete. He ain't Lamar Jackson. But I just don't see him getting better. I haven't seen him improve from year one to year two. And I'm not saying he's going to be a total bust. You know, he might end up being Andy Dalton. Again, I mentioned that with Baker. You know, which is okay, but you're not winning with that quarterback unless everything else is perfect around him. Yeah. And while I love Western New York, and if the Browns are not going to succeed, I'd love to see the Bills succeed. And I'll root for you, but I don't see it happen.
No, Adam, I mean, this is something that we talk about often in the sports bar. I mean, outsiders that we talked to, and we had one from Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago, said, you know, if the Bills want to be considered a true contender, you're going to need another quarterback. This isn't the guy. He ain't it. And, you know, I think a lot of Bills fans are enamored by the idea that we have somebody, anybody, who could potentially be a franchise quarterback, regardless of his skill level. And my fear is that his ceiling is Blake Bortles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he's better than what you've had, sure. You know, we tried the Tyrod Taylor experiment for a few weeks.
Yeesh.
But so the Bills, like the Browns, haven't had a quarterback forever. So, you know, I didn't say what the fans are going to do. I hope for Bills fans' sake that I'm wrong about Josh Allen, but I don't see him being a star in the NFL.
Adam, one last question about Kitchens. If it ends up not going his way and you're in the market, why would this year be any different than last offseason? Meaning you had an opportunity, Bruce Arians, you had an opportunity to some bigger names, and yet you just kind of settled from within. So, on your show, who are bantied about right now as potential coaches of the future for this Browns team?
I think the Browns should hire Josh McDaniels. I think he's the answer. I know it ended up flopping in Denver for him. You keep him away from the general manager's office. I think he's going to be a really good head coach the second time around. He's from the area, which is a little bonus, but doesn't really matter in the end. But I think he'd be a good choice. But ultimately, I think what we learn more and more every year is that we all pick our guys, the fans, us. We all pick our guys with the coach we think is the best, and we're all just guessing. We have no idea. Just because you're an experienced head coach doesn't mean you're going to be good the second time around. You never know for sure who's going to work in what situation. So, in a way, it's you just got to get lucky. And the Browns have not gotten lucky. They've ended up hiring one terrible coach after the next. They have not had a good coach since Bill Belichick. That's a long time ago. And they didn't even know what he was when they had him.
Adam, does it really even matter? I mean, how has ownership been with Cleveland? We know that, you know, bringing in Dorsey, and he's been making a lot of the decisions, but you know, there's been plenty written and spoken about the Haslam family since they've taken over in Cleveland. Is ownership backing off, or is ownership is dysfunctional as we believe it has been for years?
Ownership is a bad owner. Jimmy Haslam's a bad owner until proven otherwise. I do think he's backed off a little bit and allowed John Dorsey to do his job. I don't know that for certain, but I do think he's backed off some for now. But now that it's going poorly, we'll see. But until proven otherwise, I mean, he's as bad as an owner as there is in all professional sports. I mean, they don't care about character, and that's been a big issue this week. We had a player threatening fans, and he got cut. Fortunately, I was surprised they actually cut him. We've had bad character guys brought into the fold a number of times. Special teams coach is a known homophobic. The owner's been in trouble with the law. So, I mean, there's a laundry list of things. And so, yeah, no, he is not a good owner until proven otherwise. And so it's hard to have much faith in him. I do think John Dorsey's a good GM, not without flaws, but I do think that's the first good hire that Jimmy Haslam has made. But the list of bad hires far outweighs the good at this point.
Adam the Bull, you can catch his show, radio.com, sister station 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. Adam, appreciate your time. Adam the Bull, Brockport grad, Brockport prom.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Adam the Bull, a lot to unpack there, Gino. Adam not mincing words when it comes to what he thinks about the Buffalo Bills, what he thinks about the Buffalo Bills quarterback and Josh Allen. We'll get to more of his comments here later this afternoon.
Does that upset you? Should that upset you? I don't think it should upset you. If you're looking for validation in another city, you ain't going to find it. Go back to what Lorenzo Alexander said today. I mean, no, not until this team actually does something, that is, win a playoff game, even get to a championship game, you're going to continue to hear these things.
If you missed Adam the Bull or came in late, we'll get that for you on demand shortly. The radio.com app, just search out the Sports Bar, and all of our guest appearances are listed for you right there to listen anytime, anywhere. I'll drink to that. He's on the way next in the Sports Bar. Takes on tap, Gino.
Yeah, Syracuse basketball tonight. I'll give you my prediction for the upcoming year. No, we're not a political show. However, we have a new county executive. I have one sports wish for you, Mr. Bello, and see if we can rectify this. Also, non-sports take.
Okay, my non-sports take today has everything to do with... Look, if your wife stays home and doesn't work, stay-at-home mom, like nothing more noble than being the stay-at-home mom. Toughest job on the planet, you could argue. But the mommy bloggers, I've got to put you to task for something. Something that directly impacts me, and it's got to stop. This is an epidemic that has to stop. I'll explain. My sports take today, by the way, there's a stat out there on the Buffalo Bills, an encouraging stat out there by the Buffalo Bills. You know, if you put in the hours and you work hard on something, that yes, eventually you will see improvement. This stat is evidence of that. We'll get into that more. I'll drink to that is on the way next. We've got some takes to share in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
WeUpOnRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. We Up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Scores, stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.